The Senate Health and Human Services Committee has approved a bill intended to fight fraud in the Medicaid system. Would you talk to us a little bit about what the committee did yesterday?
You bet. Yes, we passed that out of committee yesterday. It had a multi-pronged approach about weeding out fraud and abuse, including changing some of the inducements that can be done in reference to advertising for services by certain medical providers, and especially in the dental area, and help reform the medical transportation program that's part of the Medicaid program. And then,
why transportation before we go on?
Well, the costs associated with medical transportation have increased an astonishing rate over the last 3 years. It's well over $100 million a year transporting our Medicaid recipients to necessary health care providers. Unfortunately, I think that program's been abused by some of the recipients in our Medicaid system. We heard some testimony that they were being transported to Dr. Wall or Dr. HEB.
Oh, my.
And so, that needs to be getting control of. And I think this bill will help out in that area in particular.
Now, I know that there was a group from South Texas who said that single parents would have to accompany their children to therapy and such. They'd miss work. They'd lose income. So what do you say to the people who feel like they'll be put upon because of this?
I think it's incumbent on us to make sure that we are utilizing our state resources and taxpayer dollars wisely. And, there's an individual responsibility and family responsibility that goes along with state responsibility. I think this is a fair balance of that.
So the audience understands, back in October, the Inspector General of Health and Human Services, Doug Wilson, had said that his office had 27 current investigations and they'd put payments on hold. And they'd found about $370 million in potential overpayments. So at that time, there was a group called the Texas Medicaid Healthcare Partnership that had contracted with the state to review some of these procedures, is my understanding. Are they still under contract with the state, to your knowledge?
I'm not under my specific knowledge of that. I do not have. I know the Medicaid OIG Inspector General is doing a fine job of trying to weed out fraud and abuse in our Medicaid system. Part of the SB8 that we just passed out of committee also allowed for the establishment of a data collection system that helps improve all criteria that we use to look for overutilization and misutilization of our resources.
On Monday, the senior senator, John Whitmire, said that he plans to file legislation that's going to bar public-private partnerships. They're called P3s, if people have maybe heard him talk to about that way, in the Capitol complex, and he says that he does not want any historic ground sold off. Now, you were a member of the Texas House back when the legislature decided to cut spending in all the departments, and I think ask for public-private partnerships wherever possible. Are you pretty much in favor of them in general, and just would you side with the senator on the Capitol complex question, or do you just really not want P3s around?
As far as the Capitol complex, I'm not a big proponent of public-private partnerships in the Capitol complex. State land, I think it should stay in those hands.
Yeah, I try to keep up with this stuff, but I guess I missed that last time. Though, I mean, we're talking about a 37-story building and some other buildings to go along with it at MLK and down in South Colorado. Is that right?
I'm not familiar exactly what Senator Whitmire is referring to.
But, I mean, it's a big complex that y'all are looking at possibly building for the state itself?
Well, there's always proposals. We weren't in the mood of building anything last session.
Yeah,
we were in the mood of making sure that we passed a sound budget that didn't raise taxes on the hardworking citizens of Texas.
Sure. Senator Charles Swartner joining us this morning. Barbara Cargill's nomination for a second term as chairwoman of the State Board of Education,
right,
going to the full Senate after the committee approved that. Now, the Senate sometimes has rejected board chairs. They did in 07 and 09. Do you feel like her renomination or reelection to that position is safe?
I think so. Talking to other senators, I believe she's answered all the questions in front of the nominations committee to the satisfaction of the members of the committee. I haven't heard much from other senators that they have any significant problems with her confirmation.
Okay. What's on your radar screen between now and when we talk next week?
Well, a couple of things. I guess from a state perspective, we've been working hard on some of the water issues. We have a number of bills that will be moving through natural resources that are Fraser's bills that I've signed on to that redesign the Texas Water Development Board, as well as allocate up to $2 billion in reference to the long-term water needs of the state of Texas. I think those are very important bills to address the long-term infrastructure concerns, water infrastructure concerns in the state of Texas. There's another bill about regionalization of regional water authorities I think is very important to get passed, too.
Now, tell me a little bit about that from a standpoint of how regional are we talking about? Are we talking about how is it different from the water boards that are already established in Texas?
Well, this allows two or more entities, municipalities or regional water authorities, to set up a larger district and that way allow for larger construction or maintenance or repair or operation of water projects. So I think it's a better way to address the water needs of specific regions rather than one town and another town side by side. Maybe the two of them can combine their expertise and resources to effect a better solution to that region for the water needs.